Bridge.
Yeah.
I want to hear about Sundance. Because I don't remember if you told me already.
Okay, so thing about Sundance is I think people think of it like you have to be a super duper celebrity or like make a movie or whatever. And yes, some of those are true for the premieres. Oh. However, there's a lot of like, we're playing the movie again and again and again and again. And so I got those tickets.
Yeah.
And they're like $25.
That's so cool.
And I saw two shows. I saw one at the iconic Egyptian Theater where it started, and it is so tiny. You walk in, that's it. And I will tell you, Kate, I left more business cards for sisters who've seen it than they even could fill the theater.
Jesus.
Okay, I just threw them everywhere.
And some poor usher to sweep them all up. It's like, what?
No, I put them beautifully in the bathroom as if it was like advertisements.
I just picture you like confettiing them in the theater during the movie. And then everyone's like, oh no.
So I saw two films. And so that was, the movie was called Passages. And it was basically like a softcore porn.
Cool. In English?
So it was in subtitles. It was all in French.
Okay. But
it was really good. And then we went out. So then it's like a Saturday night.
Woo!
This is the dress code for like non-celebrity Sundance. Imagine Pamela Anderson's white fluffy bucket hat. Are you following?
Not that. No.
Everyone wore that.
Why?
Everyone had the white fluffy bucket hat. And
why?
Then imagine Kate Hudson in Almost Famous with the furred long jacket. Everyone wore that.
Wait, did you wear that?
No, okay, I don't. Damn, I own those things. So
I
you
don't
got
know if
a
there was
of
like
fur.
A vendor on the street like selling fuzzy bucket hats or something.
No, it's like the style. So you had lots of fur, lots of bucket hats. But then the dudes look like they just came off of like shooting guns at the range, but like ski versions. So they had like puffy jackets, baseball caps, and they were all like wearing scarves. And I was like, wow, this is a vibe.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So that was really fun, and the town is really cutesy. It's basically on a giant hill, and there's like restaurant bar. So fun. It was a really good time. Live music everywhere. Like,
wow.
It was freaking awesome. And then the next one I saw was during the day, and that one was in another theater. I think it was called the Ray Charles Theater. Is that a real theater?
Sure.
So that one's bigger, and that one, when we, again, this was like the people that directed it, like nobody was there. They're like, sorry, the director and everybody left for Q&A. So it's like, I'm like, yeah, I know, it's the loser film. So,
okay.
But that one was cool because you walked up and they had all these outside tents and you walked through it, like you snaked through it. Like, imagine this was like packed with people, but it's not because nobody came here. But I got to imagine what it would be like if I waited in line.
Oh,
like I was at a cool movie. And that one was called The Eternal Memory.
Ooh.
Let me tell you.
That sounds interesting.
You need to cry.
Oh, put on the list.
It's incredible.
Was it a short film or a long film?
They all were like normal, hour and
yeah.
a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
But
wow.
This one won best documentary, like international documentary. They called World Documentary.
Oh my gosh.
And the story is so freaking cool. It's about, his name is Augusto, and it was a Chilean journalist.
Yeah.
And basically he wrote books, and he made his fame from trying to restore Chileans' memory, like history, because there was like a dictator at one point that was just trying to like erase it. And so he was like trying to save it. Okay, that's not even the main point of the story. That's the backstory. Now, in his old age, he has Alzheimer's.
Oh my God.
And so you watch him tell these back and forth stories of like him keeping the memory of the country, but then he also like obviously is losing his, and he has... He has the most incredible wife who is like the kindest, gentlest soul. And she was an actress in Chile. And I don't know. It was such a beautiful, raw take on it without being just sad.
Yeah.
Like, it also was funny. It was funny and cute. And I cried. I cried the moment it started to the moment it ended. I was like, if it was happy, I was crying. If it was sad, I was crying. It was so, I understood why it won. It was
so
freaking good. So
check it out.
Yeah. And then I sent you all those like screenshots. And for the true listeners that follow our social media, we've done so many movies that began at Sundance.
Oh, and people don't forget, Brave Little Toaster was at Sundance.
Ah!
Everyone, what
Can you
even?
Believe that?
happening.
Can you believe that?
So fun.
So everyone, if you are inspired to go and you like to ski, like, you could do it. You could get a ticket and go. So, like, get over here.
Do it. Find our business cards. They're there.
Oh my God. If you find one of those, wow.
Take a picture and tag us. Thank you.
Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby dooby doo wop. Sisters, shooby dooby doo wop. Sisters. Sisters who seen it.
Hey, listener.
Hey, guys. Hi.
A lot of songs today. Okay.
There's so much singing about to happen.
Welcome back, listeners.
Welcome back.
I'm going to introduce ourselves in case you know. We are the Sisters Who Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Dilly dilly dilly. They are standing in a bum bum.
Boom, boom, boom.
Big ones, small ones, ones big as your head. I really wish that song continued. I wanted to see where it was going, but it didn't.
Kate, what is it? What's the movie?
Him and Nana. It's the Lion King.
1994, Disney classic, Touch Your Heart as a Child, wowie, wowie.
As a child, so you talk about that movie that you saw made you cry the whole movie. I cried this entire watch through. I cried the whole time. Well, like 80%, I would say. Like, I was like, and I'm crying again. Wow.
The death does happen early. It's like the first 10 minutes.
It's not even that. It's just like so beautiful. And like, this is my favorite animated movie.
I remember you saying that. I can't. Well, it is your turn for the synopsis.
God help us all. All right, I'll try not to do all the voice impressions and sing every lyric to every song.
It's fine. You do you, Kate. You love it.
I mean, the short version is this is Shakespeare's Hamlet as cartoon lions.
Wait, one of the like writers or somebody also said Hamlet plus Bambi, and they called it Bamblet.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, keep going. Sorry about that.
Oh, wow. Okay, I could see it now because the parent dies and then they're the king of the forest. Okay. Anyway, this movie's great and it starts off with a goddamn cold open. So that's how you know we mean business. And it's a really amazing cold open of the Circle of Life. And we are introduced to basically almost all of our main characters right away. We have what's the history term where it's like a king? Monarchy. This is an animal monarchy and the goddamn lions are the royal. So Mufasa is the king, the Lion King, if you will, and he's married or whatever to Sarabi. I don't know if they're married, Bridge.
He identifies as him.
There is the in them. And they just had a bebé, and the little bebé is Simba. He's a little cutie patootie-toot.
So cute.
And the movie just starts off, like, introducing them, and then you meet Rafiki, who is, like, the urban, you know, eclectic best friend who practices witchcraft. He's the best. We all need a friend like him.
He's a Wiccan.
Yes, he is. I thought so much about that during this watch through. It was a little too much. But he's just like, yeah, here's the baby. Woo. And everyone's like, yeah, baby. And then you come to meet that Mufasa has a brother named Scar. And Scar's like, wah, I'll never be king. Wah, 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 wah. Even though, like, life is good and I don't have any responsibilities. But, like, gosh, everything sucks. So he's jealous of Simba because now Simba is going to grow up and be king. And Scar basically, like, just you know, more than once, like, tries to get Simba killed.
He's not a great uncle.
Mm-mm. No, he's just Mm-mm. not. And Scar's also friends with a bunch of hyenas. One of them is Whoopi Goldberg. That's very important that you guys know that, because this is the 90s, and she was killing it. Okay. So, you know, they're bad, whatever. And so that's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and basically... Big sad moment makes me cry. I cried before this many times, just to preface, but this is the big cry. There is a scene where, you know, a stampede starts, and it's, you know, intended to kind of kill Simba and ideally kill Mufasa too. And, well, you think both of them are going to make it out okay, and Mufasa's climbing up the cliff, and then Scar is like there, and he's like, help me, Scar. And then Scar's like, fuck off. And then he throws him and he fucking dies.
Long live the king. Let me tell you, we've had our beef with our brother, but not like this.
I don't think he would throw us off the cliff. He would threaten to, but he wouldn't in our face. Do it.
He would never take it that far.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Mufasa, like, dies, and you literally see his dead body, and then baby Simba finds it, and it's the worst trauma ever, and then Scar is a gaslighter, and he's like, Simba, you killed your dad, you four-year-old, good job, and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And then he tells Simba to run away, and he does, but he gets away safely, the hyenas try to get him, they don't, whatever. So now Simba's gone, and Scar's like, yo, I'm the king now, no, election's here, monarchy! And, I mean, guys... scary times. I mean, I worry about you people in England.
Doesn't go well.
It's fine. And then Simba gets, I would argue, kind of adopted by Timon and Pumbaa, who is Timon's a meerkat. Pumbaa's a warthog. They're friends, and that's all you need to know. And they raise Simba, and then he becomes young adult Simba, perhaps age 21, I think, based on his attitude. Okay. And he's like, whatever, like, let's just party and hang out, and who cares? And then Nala, who I forgot to mention, she's there too, guys. She was like his best bud, and now she's like older, and Simba and her see each other, and she's like, damn, you're hot. And he's like, damn, you're hot. And they're like, we're in love. But then Nala's like, right, you should like, come help out now, because like everything's wrong, and come do it. And then Simba's like, no, I'm sad on the inside. And then she's like, God, you suck. Then Rafiki comes in and gives him the real talk and hits him on the fucking head. And then there's kind of like some, I don't want to compare it to God, I would like to use the term ghost and aliens, even, like, I'm more comfy with those. But Simba has an epiphany where he talks to his dead dad via clouds, and that's that's it. And then it's king. Let's do it. And then there's a big fight at the end. Secrets are revealed. Simba, you know, comes out on top. And then, Bridge, this is where I actually might cry a little bit more than the Mufasa death scene, is when it's freaking raining. And, like, it's like he went through so much trauma, and now he's finally, like, reaching his full potential, slowly climbing up the rock in slow motion, and the dramatic music plays. I can't. I get emotional.
Katie is so beautiful, tearing right now. It's tearing.
It's not the wine this time, guys. Like, this is just, it's just so good. Oh my God. And then he does his actual roar that he couldn't do the whole movie. Talk about character arc. Oh my God.
You're gonna make me cry.
That might be like one of my favorite scenes in like any movie.
First of all, let's give you a round of applause.
Wow. Sorry.
Because you could have made that Jurassic Park long and you didn't.
It only took me 130 something episodes to figure it out.
You didn't miss anything. Perfection. The only thing I'd add is there's fun musical songs to break up the crying.
Yes, those do pause the tears sometimes. So thank you.
It came back to me like it was yesterday. I was singing out loud.
Well, you did karaoke of this soundtrack, didn't you? Wasn't that what you were saying last episode?
All day, every day.
Okay.
All day, every day.
Wow.
Can we spit some facts about this movie?
Spit them.
Did you know that Disney, which, you know, a part of me wants to go back to Whoopi, because Disney, why do you underestimate Whoopi? Mm-mm. But Disney was like, hey, so we got two movies coming out. We got this thing called Pocahontas.
Oh.
And then we got this, like, lion movie, but we don't really know what it is yet. So, like, Pooh's going to do what? And the A team was like, fucking Pocahontas.
Oh.
So the B team went and did this movie, and Disney was like, yeah, 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 good luck at that Little Lion movie, and then they crushed it.
What?
Yes! It's all over the internet. You can look it up.
That was I bet that was because they were like, oh yeah, Pocahontas is kind of like princess, and like, we're leaning into princesses, but like, fuck that! We're like animals and shit. Woo!
And first of all, this was the only, probably still to this point, the only Disney movie that they used an actual footage of the movie for the trailer. So the beginning, oh, where it's like, hum and yum and ding,
yeah, blah, 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 blah. I remember then, the trailer still.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it goes black and then it's like, boom, yeah, Lion King. That's the trailer. So they showed it and they're like, what do you think of this B-team shit? And then literally Disney was like, damn, that's fucking good. Now make the whole movie that good. And then I think they were like, So then they obviously did. But I just feel like that first scene sets the tone of how freaking awesome this movie is.
Well, and it's also like how it's serious in some parts. Like they're like, this is, yes, a serious song, guys. This is the birth of baby Simba, okay? Not a Jesus comparison. I don't want to fucking hear it, all right? Because I'll argue you if you try.
Okay, some critiquing. The animation, as expected, is not as cool. I remember it being really cool.
Yeah.
I think, like, the Pixar and all that, like, Finding Nemo to me, when I saw that, I was like, I can't believe, right, they made animation like that.
Yeah.
I read that they went to Kenya.
Didn't they bring in, like, real, like, animals to, like,
real
sketch?
Real lions?
What? Even? So... I find that so funny. They're like, hey, B team, we're going to put your lives in danger and you're going to draw this man-hungry lion. Good luck. Fuck you.
But
so
I'll tell you, your boy Hans Zimmer.
Oh, my God.
Who's the dude he got? He got the dude that made the hum yama hanya hana bada.
I don't know. But like Elton John and Tim Rice wrote the lyrics for the like songs where there's actual singing.
Yes.
But Hans Zimmer was the composer. He did like the background.
And he did it with somebody else who, of course, I'm like, not freaking naming. But that was the other thing, is like, once they like heard this guy came up with it and they were like, that's it. And as an older person watching this movie, Kate, I use closed captionings now.
Bridge!
If you have,
was
it
just
you,
like some, like a cat on a keyboard, like random letters for that song?
In our trivia game that we are still making, if we said, what is the spelling of the Lion King's, oh, like, first song? And it's like, humming yama nama, literally just writing out letters. Like, yeah. I was like, I was even trying to read it, and I was like, humma yuma yubia, but I was like, I can't. We all have to do it in our own way. That's what makes it so great.
Yeah, it's true. And everybody knows it, because it's just really great.
Oh my gosh. It's just so beautiful. Okay, so the witch doctor's like, hot damn, we got a baby. And everyone's like, whoa, mama, the sun comes down. And then this is a very respected monarch, because everyone's bowing.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like they were mad about it, because they were like, cool, everything's green, we get food, like, we're chill, everyone's just like doing their thing.
Circle of life. Okay.
And I kind of thought, I think some of you get eaten by lions, but I guess you all just like are cool.
Well,
about
they
it.
Do, but then as Mufasa explained, Bridge, which is like a little privilege of explaining, is Mufasa's like, you know, when we die, our body becomes grass and animals eat it. So that makes it cool for me to murder them. Get it? And Simba's like, I'm 4. I don't understand anything, but okay. Yeah. Wait,
at this point, Simba's Jonathan Taylor Thomas voice.
All JTT. Like, what?
Okay.
How old was he in this movie?
Oh my God, I gotta look that up. Back in the day, I would have those magazines that were like Crush magazines, and you would like take out pictures of him, and it's so funny to me thinking about that now.
I always think of JTT from Tom and Huck. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
That was so fun. And oh my God, and Rachel Lee Cook is in that too, I'm pretty sure.
He was 13. He was 13.
In this movie?
Yeah.
Wow. I always thought it would be younger, but well, incredible. Good choice, JTT.
Bet those royalties are hidden.
I'm pretty sure the singing is not his voice, though. I think,
did JTT sing?
And I would argue, probably not Matthew Broderick, who is adult Simba. I don't think is the singer either.
No. Sorry, I was trying to find out who did sing it, but I don't know. Okay.
Well, so Simba gets...
Jason Weaver, sorry. Okay. Jason Weaver.
Okay.
If anyone cares.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, so let's get into it. All right, so, yeah, Rafiki, I'm going to say, does not baptize Simba. I'm going to say he does a ritualistic witch doctor spell.
Loved it. That's my theory. Loved it.
And then, you know, a ghost shines down and is like, I approve. And then he's like, now we're, everything's great and life will be good. And you're like, yeah.
Wait, in the craft, what is their, remember their thing?
That's Manu.
Mano.
Yep.
Mano.
That's who this is.
Simba.
Wasn't the craft 1994? No, I think it was 96. Oh, man.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. All right, so then we meet Scar. He is the next, like, person we meet. And we meet him because he's the only person in this kingdom, which I do have doubts about, the only one who did not go to the ceremony. And Zazu's like, hey, you didn't come to the ceremony. And, like, whatever. And Mufasa's like, yeah, my feelings are hurt. And then Scar's just, like, kind of a sassy bitch. Like, oh, whatever.
Okay.
Wow.
As a kid, I remember being like, Scar's not great, yeah. But I didn't hate him.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I'm like, Scar's the uncle you avoid.
He's not good. He's the one, like, you know, that you're not Facebook friends with because he's going to say inappropriate things on there.
And he's the one that's like, we have a secret. There's no secrets. There's no uncle secrets.
Don't like it. Mm-mm. Oh, he probably lives in Florida. Oh, God, I hate it.
Oh, geez.
Well, we don't have to deal with him too much. We're just like, wow, he sucks. Bye-bye. And then we get to meet little Simba. And you see a lot of scenes with Simba and Mufasa because they're like, yeah, son and their dad, they're great. They love each other and everyone's happy. And Mufasa does try to, like, teach Simba some lessons. I'm not convinced Simba is learning because he makes a lot of mistakes and kind of just...
But he's a kid.
He is a kid. And I'm glad he's a kid when we're doing this and whatever. Simba's very much like, I can't wait to be king and then I'm in charge. Wee! And you're like, but Simba, you also gotta be, like, responsible. And then he's like, I don't know what that word means. I haven't seen Spider-Man yet.
With great responsibility. And I just can't wait to be king.
Oh my God,
everybody,
so fun.
Everybody look left.
Hey!
Everybody look right.
Ooh!
Everywhere you're looking.
Stand in the spotlight.
Not yet.
It's so good.
It came all back to me.
That song is so good. That song is the best too because they're like, you know what? This is a random ass song for no reason. We're gonna put it in crazy colors. Woo-woo! You're like, we're busting out. Here we go.
I forgot how cool The Lion King does music because it's not... There's so many other movies where all of a sudden it's like music slowly fades in and then you're like, okay, this is the song the whole time. Not The Lion King. The Lion King's like, we're doing dialogue. We're doing song.
Yeah.
We're maybe doing dance. We're stopping dance. We're now back to dialogue. And it is so smooth that I'm like, wow, I even remember the dialogue in a lot of these scenes. Because I feel like, you know how you remember song lyrics more than anything else? So I'm like, this has to all be interconnected. Because, like, wow.
Yeah. And they sing this song. The whole reason they sing this song is because Simba was told by Scar, this is Scar's first murder attempt. Scar basically is like, hey, there's an elephant graveyard. Oops, I didn't mean to tell you that. Oh my God, don't go there, wink wink, hashtag wink. And it's very reverse psychology, Scar. Okay, I'm on to you. But Simba's not, because he's a baby. And so Simba's like, I'm gonna go. So he's like, me and Nala are gonna go. And then his mom's like, but Zazu's gotta go with you. And they're like, Zazu gets, like, kind of shafted this whole movie, by the way.
Yo, Zazu is basically a slave.
Like, I want him to get at least a fucking hug. I don't think he even gets a hug from anyone. Like, I think they're all just like, God, Zazu, you're in the way. And I'm like, what?
And, like, he can fly, so, like, he should just get out of the way.
I mean, like, I guess he should, but they sing this...
I meant to protect himself, not to not be loved.
Well, they sing this song to get rid of Zazu, and now they're at the elephant graveyard, and Simba's like, I'm so brave and tough, and Nala's like, you're a little bitch, and then the fucking hyenas are like, we're here right now, and then Whoopi's like, hey guys, I'm back from Sister Act 2, which came out last year, or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Last year, 1993.
Literally, when you hear Whoopi's voice as a hyena,
it's
you're
crazy.
Like, and now I like you. I'm not supposed to like you, but you're Whoopi.
And her hyena had, like, her hair was so, like, spiky, and, like, it, like, hung over like it was bangs. And I was like, is that because Whoopi has no eyebrows that we learned in our Sister Act episode? / that I learned, and so your hyena has to... Anyway, so the hyenas are Shenzi, who is Whoopi Goldberg, Ed, who I feel like is one of Cheech and Chong, and I'm not saying that as a joke, like, I really think one of them is the actor for that. And then the other guy, which I don't remember.
Frank Welker?
No, I want to know the character name.
Oh, it just says hyena.
What?
Ed?
There's Ed.
Oh,
there's...
Cheech is Banzai. Banzai?
Oh, is that the other guy?
B-A-N-Z?
Oh, hold on.
Yo, did you realize that Zazu is Mr. Bean?
Now I did.
Wow, I didn't put that together.
Wait, Cheech is? He's the guy that wasn't the stupid guy. I thought the stupid guy was one of Cheech and Chong. What?
I don't know what's happening,
wait,
Kate.
Disney hired Cheech Marin, Whoopi Goldberg, and then this other guy.
Well, honestly, I think half of the success is voice actors.
I mean, the voices are great, yeah.
James Earl Jones, Mufasa, stop.
Oh my God. And I never think of Darth Vader. I never do. Or the guy from The Sandlot. Never.
You're telling me Jonathan Taylor Thomas turns into Matthew Broderick? Get out of here. Nathan Lane? Timon?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, there's a lot of iconic, and I feel like Disney wasn't always, like, they weren't always known for doing stuff like that, where it's like, where do you get, like, all the famous voice people, you know, actors to voice it, whereas, like, nowadays, oh my God, like, the frickin' new Mario movie coming out, where somebody thought Chris Pratt should be the voice of Mario, what?
No!
It's so bad, it sounds like Linda from Bob's Burgers.
I hate it!
Yeah, but anywho, yes. So this movie does it right. But these hyenas are out for blood. And this is murder attempt number one. And they chase little cubs around. Zazu gets, like, exploded. Okay. Jesus
Wait,
Christ.
But this is when Simba is trying to do that scary
oh,
roar.
Oh, he does his little rah, rah, rah.
And then he does it, and they're like, she's like, ooh. Whoopi's whole, like, spiel is like, ooh, do it again. Like, that's her line the whole movie. And when he then does it again, oh snap, it's Mufasa.
I fucking
and they're like,
love
ah!
that. I love that so much. There are so many good allusions to, like, Simba, you're gonna be a fucking king one day. You better step it up, bitch. Here's an allegory for you!
I cannot tell you how many Planet Earths, how many National Geographic, how many of these shows that I have watched, this little baby cub, and all of a sudden someone's coming, and you're like, oh shit, and then their, like, parent comes, and you're like, damn.
You're like, David Attenborough, help me be calm.
He's like, and then the lion comes and rips apart the hyena.
The elephant graveyard.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be awesome. So then it gets in trouble, but I'd argue, like, he's not really that in trouble. Like, Mufasa's like, hey, you disobeyed me. Everything the light touches, you went to the darkness.
Oh, we did and, like, skip over that. Oh.
But, like, he's like, hey, man, why aren't you listening to me? And then he's like, I don't know, I was just trying to be brave. And I'm like, oh, he's so honest.
Wait.
What?
I have to ask you an important question.
What?
If you were able to rule over everything the light touches somewhere, where would that be?
Oh,
and then
wow.
Where would the, and then what would be the shadowy place? Because I know my answer.
Well, obviously, go for it. Okay. Mine's gonna suck.
Everything the light touches for me would be the entire East Coast of New Jersey. The shadowy place is Florida. Thank you. Good night. That's mine. And people like to make memes that New Jersey's a shadowy place. Y'all can go fuck yourself, okay? Jesus. Get off the turnpike for once.
As we've been called the armpit, you gotta raise your hand sometimes. And then there's no shadow. Okay? Well, Kate, I'll have to think about that and
okay,
get back sorry.
To you. Okay, sorry.
Just
me?
Just yours.
Philosophical question? Okay.
Katie owns everything the light touches, minus the turnpike south with the 95 East and the parkway.
Minus the border to New York
but
and Pennsylvania. Yes.
You start to see, like, Mufasa's a good dad. Like, he's like, listen, you disobeyed me. Here's my boundary. I'm trying to keep you safe. But he's like, all right, let's have some fun and roll around in the grass. And he's like, oh, dad. You know? He's so cute.
It's so cute. And then Simba's like, dad, we're going to all be together forever, right? And then Mufasa's like, I think this is a good time for me to talk to you about death and mortality. And especially because it's impending, like, next scene. So let's
do it. The foreshadowing is there, but I didn't care. I loved it.
It's just, I do like the, because obviously it does, yeah, set up for the later scene and stuff. But I like the message that it's supposed to be like, when someone dies, it doesn't mean they're totally gone because they can still be in your heart.
Kate, I read about all these people, like, writing into the creators of the movie, like, thanking them, like, widows. Because they're like, I didn't know how to explain death mm-hmm. to my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it so well because he can still talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, in the clouds or, you know, with the stars. I'm like, oh,
so cute.
But meanwhile, because I'm waiting for the next song,
oh boy.
We get to be prepared.
A little Nazi-ish?
I'm glad you said it. I thought, these hyenas have never had this posture.
Like,
this
why can't they bend their front legs?
Why are they so upright?
They can still march with a bend. I don't understand.
I don't like the upright marching. I don't like the leader in the top corner. Mm. I don't like the colors. The colors were kind of green. I hated it. It was not good. But as a kid, I was like, that's silly Scar. As an adult, I'm like, this is a bad uncle.
Yeah.
Like, this uncle needs to go. He cannot be invited any family event.
Well, he literally goes from, okay, I tried one murder attempt to kill a toddler. It failed. So clearly, plan B is going to be murder the big adult that everybody knows. That's easy, right? I couldn't pull it off with a kid, but somehow I'll pull it off with an adult. What? I mean, he does, though, so it's fucked.
He does. And I got to say, like, he kind of does this thing, like, you got the, you know, strength and I got the brains.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, maybe you did, but then why, once you started leading, was everyone just starving? So
middleman,
something's off. Okay, wait. The stampede scene.
Oh my god.
Katie.
Oh my god.
It took the animators 2 years
what?
To make.
Oh my god.
And I'll tell you, that holds up.
That
I'm
does.
Like, worth it. Because the camera angle of, like, however they, like, figured out how to make the animation, I was like, wow.
Okay.
It's incredible.
So you brought this up last episode that we both have seen this Broadway musical. And listeners, if you've never seen this movie on Broadway,
so good.
Like, you need to do it because it's incredible. But this scene in the Broadway musical, like, was insane how
yeah,
they
insane.
Did it, because yeah. they were able to do, like, the aspect ratio thing where it was like, oh, like, I see them from far away, and then, like, they're getting closer and closer, but, like, they're just in stage stationary, and it's just like, oh my god, that was fucking wild. And it was still mm-hmm. scary even, like, mm-hmm. watching it on a goddamn stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I always get, like, ugh, it's upsetting, because I'm like, if this was me, if I was Simba, like, I would absolutely be dead immediately. I
dead.
Would
I'd
tripped on a rock or something stupid and, like, run over. There's no way.
And here's where I'm wondering about this, like, we're the king and we respect you, but now all of a sudden we're gonna, like, stampede on you, you know? Like,
well,
I don't know.
I feel like it's, I don't know, it's like Walmart Black Friday from, like, the 90s, right? Like, nobody's really thinking. It's just our, like, you know, ancient brain, and we're not looking at who's under
and
us.
That was a lot of antelope.
Yeah, sure was. Wow. I did like how this was the plan, though, because if we're thinking SVU and X-Files, right, like, not a lot of evidence this was Scar.
No,
not a
right.
lot. If the antelope did run over them, or whatever, wildebeest, whatever, then, like, Scar would have never been attached to it. So,
yep.
No fingerprints.
He does have some brains, but I don't like it. I don't like it either.
I just, you know, I'm just saying.
So then Mufasa tries to save him, and he does, but then he gets taken away, and then all of a sudden, you see the scene where Mufasa just bounces out of the stampede.
he
becomes a mountain climber.
He
and
does.
Just he's free soloing up the goddamn mountain, and Scar is there. Now, Simba, if he was watching this, would figure out what had happened and be like, yo, Scar killed my dad. But he was trying to run up the mountain,
yeah.
so he couldn't see it. And then Scar just, oof, this ain't good. Long live the king.
Long live
Yikes.
The king. Whoosh. And then it's slow motion screaming to our death. And then Simba's slow motion screaming. And then I don't know what Scar's doing in slow motion, but it's probably not good, and it's horrible. And then,
you know, when we we look back to all these like dark Disney 80s, whatever, like this somehow, I don't remember it being that dark. Like, it's just, it's like life, like, you know, death happens. So they didn't do it like really, really awful. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't watch him get like fucking trampled. But we do then see his dead body, and he's not like bloody. He just kind of looks like he's sleepy, but yeah, he did.
I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I'm just thinking about in Twilight when they ripped apart that body.
Oh my! You know? That would have been like,
it's horrific. But then he sees his dad and he tries to wake him up.
Oh my God. And then, I fucking
that
cannot.
Hurts your heart. Oh my God. That hurts your heartstrings.
And then when he's screaming for help, I just like.
Okay, so then Scar gaslights him, and Scar's like, I can't believe you did this.
Gaslighter!
This is Home Alone, Kevin's uncle. Look what you did, you little jerk.
Uncle Frank, you son of a bitch! Get out of my Lion King!
And Scar, using that noggin again, is like, run away. Never come back, run away. And I was like, oh my God. And Simba is this little poor kid, so he does. And we believe it. We believe
I
every
do believe
storyline.
I do believe it, because you could tell kids anything, and depending on how old they are, they're gonna fucking believe it. Especially if it's from an adult they think they can trust. Okay.
And then Whoopi and her crew try to take him down, but they're not going in the thorns, so he gets away. He's just like heading far away. Now the light
Forrest
is not
Gump
touching this.
Running.
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah.
But he ends up okay. He ends up in some crazy desert. And then Timon and Pumbaa are like, oh my God, it's a lion, you know? And they're like, holy cannoli. Yeah. And they realize it's a sad lion. So then they're like, oh, you're sad.
And
let's
a
bebe. And a bebe.
Yeah.
Okay. You're telling me.
Yes.
I was supposed to be king, and I had this like cool life, but I have this really scary uncle, and I've just been trying to get murdered. Like, people have tried to murder me. My dad's dead. But then I could live over here in an island that's like gorgeous with two funny friends and just become like a vegetarian. I don't know if this is such a bad deal.
Again, I get why Simba's like, yeah, I'm chilling. This is cool.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata, bitch. What a wonderful phrase.
Ain't no passing.
Craze.
It means no worries. But all the rest of your days. Yeah.
Sing it,
so
kid.
Problem free. Philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Love. How we do a growing up montage. Love it.
Oh my God. One
Simba,
of my favorite scenes.
Simba's like, I drank the Kool-Aid so damn quick. I'm Hakuna Matata-ing till I'm 20. Here I go. And it's just so fun. Okay. Have you ever heard of The Lion King 1.5?
No, what's that?
This is a movie.
Oh.
It's not as good as this movie, but it's like a mid-qual, meaning it's its own like entire full-length movie that takes place filling in the gaps of this movie. And it is all about how it starts when like baby Simba meets Timon and Pumbaa. And then it's like a movie about them like raising little Simba. And it's like kind of cute actually, because they show Simba as like a little kid being like, I'm scared to sleep by myself, and then Timon's like, okay, you can come cuddle, and then you're like, oh, it's so sweet. Because I mean, I know they end up, obviously Simba gets older and they end up being friends, but like they kind of adopt him, okay? And then it's like
they're cool parents.
Yeah, they're like adoptive fun parents.
Nathan Lane is so funny.
Oh my God.
And I love how he plays like the smart one, but he's kind of dumb. And Pumbaa is supposed to play like the stupid one, but he's actually like smart.
Dude, Pumbaa knows like astrophysics.
The dichotomy is so great.
Yeah.
And I would argue, you know, there's a little fat phobia with Pumbaa. Okay.
Wow. And he's like, they say Pumbaa he's smelly. It's like a smell thing.
Everyone farts. Okay.
They
no biggie.
Do. Yeah.
Okay. But this movie's still perfect.
Oh.
And then they're like having the time of their life. They're like, here's some bugs. Like, let's talk about climate change. Let's have like, you know, let's not eat meat. Like, let's like rethink our life.
They start fracking. Yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, yo, if I had this like awful uncle, my dad's dead, like, I know I'd miss my mom and friends, but like, this is a good hangout.
I feel like I'd write them a letter and be like, let's just move here.
Yeah.
Come on, we'll give up the cool rock. Come on, guys.
Mom, here's where I live. Yes. Here's a picture of a waterfall and a palm tree. But Nala, all of a sudden, because shit is going bad under Scar.
Yeah.
Nobody can eat.
No.
It's all dark. The light is not touching anything.
Bunch of dusty shit. Okay.
Oh, I'm like, what did you do? How did you ruin this so bad?
I don't know.
I mean, this
could
be a whole movie.
Well, that is not a midquel, thankfully, because I don't want to watch that happen. But yeah, and like everyone's sad, and then Nala's like, I gotta go fucking find some food. There's no goddamn food. So she just goes on her own. Girl, risky, but fine. Live your life.
She's always been brave.
And then she has a meet cute with her old best friend. And oh, I do God. Love that, how they're like fighting. And then she pins him, and he's like, you're Nala. And I was like,
oh my God.
Throwback. My God.
Well, and it's so cute because they all think Simba's dead.
Yeah.
They're all like, Simba died, and his body is not a thing. And I love this so much. I love they got, you know, true friendship, Kate, is when you just get, you don't need to see anyone for years.
Oh,
you don't talk on the phone, but you get right back into it the moment you chat.
Timon's face when that happens, he's like, he's like, dude, she's just trying to kill us. And he's like, this is my best friend.
He's like, what?
That's so good.
And then it gets really cool because then he has, and honestly, I bet you cried at this part, he has this like internal struggle of, well, wait, now I got this cool life. It's not my responsibility. Mm. It's like, it doesn't affect me. And they're like, you have forgotten who you are, king. And he's like,
and then they say, can you feel the love? Simba's like, I do feel the love. And they're like, well, you better get your shit together because there's not going to be any love unless you fucking figure it out, you bitch. This is why I feel like Simba is very like 21-year-old, where he's just like living life and like laying in bed in like a hammock. And now it's like, I've been through some shit, okay? I grew up in poverty. All right. I know what it's like to struggle. You don't, please.
I'm trying to feed a kingdom here. Just stop starving. I feel like, though, it doesn't take him that long to all of a sudden be like, I am the motherfucking king. And you're like, yes, you are, Simba.
Wait, okay, but he doesn't just do that on his own bridge.
I know,
he has to
have
his existential monologue in the field where he yells at the sky and he says the saddest fucking line, which is, you said you'd always be there for me and you're not, and it's my fault. Also, in the Broadway musical, this is another Katie crying moment. In the Broadway musical specifically, they write an entire song about that and that whole like experience of him like seeing Mufasa and stuff. And he sings this song where it starts off really sad and depressed. And he's like, life is horrible and everything's sad. And then it's like all happy and there's like background music. And then he's like, the night will end and then the sun will rise. Oh my God, I fucking love it. It's like so inspirational. I cannot even.
This is also a review of the Broadway play.
Which is also a 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Wait, but the witch doctor, Rafiki.
Yes.
All of a sudden, like, what, his hair puffs off of him in the wind, and Rafiki, like, takes it, he's like, oh, the king is back!
Wait, that's literally where I was like, this is the witch's store. Like, I bet if we went to the witch's store near your house, they would have, like, lion for her, and they'd be like, yeah, duh, like, that's part of, you know, the spell in this book, or whatever. Like, that's what happened, and he was like, Simba's fucking alive, I gotta go, give him the real talk, because I know he's confused and he doesn't know what's happening.
And he bops him on the head.
And he's like, metaphors. I thought they saw a squash banana.
He goes, hey, that hurt. And he goes, but it's in the past.
It's in the past.
The past can hurt. I was like, oh God, the metaphors.
Past
the metaphors.
Can hurt.
This B team is like, oh yeah? We're the B team? Huh? You don't even know.
And again, I do love, like, I love the scene where he's like, look in your reflection. And he's like, that's just me. And he's like, look inside yourself, Zima, because it's also a metaphor that the people we love are in us forever. We love them. Oh, I fucking love it.
It's really, really good. And then, man, when he decides he is going, and Timon and Pumbaa are like, you know what? We got a great thing here. But, you know, you're pretty cool kids. So, like, we got you.
We got fucking real MVPs. Like, if you're in an argument with a friend, be like, I need you to be a Timon and Pumbaa right now. You're being a Scar. I need you to be a Timon and Pumbaa.
I know we're going to get arrested, but if you're not a Timon and Pumbaa right now, you're a Scar to me.
Like, okay? We need to stop saying my ride or die, and we need to start saying my Timon and Pumbaa. Am I right?
I'm saying it now. It's forever trademarked now.
I fucking love that. And then they're all like, well, the four of us are gonna take down the goddamn patriarchy monarchy. Mainly monarchy, not patriarchy, but here we go. And oh my god, it gets so drama. Fucking drama. So Robbie gets slapped. What did she do?
Let's talk about her poor life.
She also got shafted in this
she
movie,
loses
by
her
the way.
Husband.
Yep.
And her kid.
Yep.
Same day. Then her freaking brother-in-law decides to ruin everything and she has to be a slave to him. Are you kidding? Where's that movie? Where's justice for
her?
Where's
the Robbie midquel of
her
trauma?
I'll watch that. She has like a journal. Oh my god.
No.
She's like day 100.
Oh god. It's like 12 years a slave with lions. I can't.
That's awful. We can't.
Okay. Well, she gets slapped and then Simba's like, don't slap my mom. And then they're all like, oh my god, it's Simba. And Scar's
but they
like,
all say Mufasa. That's what's so cool.
I do fucking love that.
I love that they're like,
I love that.
Mufasa? Wait, can I tell you, kid? I didn't mention this, but the hair, right? The hair is really like the Mufasa thing.
He had a
90s
lion mane. Did you notice? It had a middle part.
Kate, when I was in high school, I got called Mufasa a lot.
Bridget!
Because I would fluff my hair and I thought it looked good. And you know, it only looks good if you're a lion.
Wait, I'm so triggered. People like bullied you by calling you Mufasa, who's the best? I'm upset.
I mean, I probably helped with being like, yeah, it looks like Mufasa. Okay. But like, I wasn't like sad about it. I was have a big lion mane. But that's how, that to me, he got to the age where once he had the mane, it was like, you're a man now.
Yeah.
You're king, baby.
You can brush your mane how you want. Yeah.
And then they get in a fight, him and Scar, and Scar's like, tell everybody how you're the worst. And then he's like, I'm the worst.
More gaslighting. More public humiliation gaslighting. Not a fan of it. Not a fan. Honestly, if I was Sarabi and Simba's like, it's true, Mufasa died because of me, I would have been like, wrong. You were a child. It's not your responsibility. Try again, Scar.
Like, I'd be like, you're alive. I couldn't care. If my kid is alive, I couldn't care less what happened.
Yeah.
I would be like, wow, I understand why you ran away. Aww. Because I would think, like, why would you abandon me my whole life?
Yeah.
But Scar has a flaw and it's bragging, Kate, because he didn't need to say, hey, I just want to let you know I murdered Mufasa, because that same boingy boingy Tigger bounced out and he took him down.
They whip out murderer. They like, we reference murder in this movie. It's like,
God, it's
pretty
so
awesome
dramatic.
For Disney.
And there's fire happening because land is so dry.
Atmosphere.
It's a lot.
There's a lot happening. Rafiki jumps in, does some Kill Bill fighting. It's amazing. Love it.
Don't call Pumbaa a pig.
They call me Mr. Pig. It's so stupid.
Everybody wants
so
to see Pumbaa win. Everybody was waiting for Pumbaa to fight back. He was so easygoing.
I'm dead. And then Scar's a little bitch, and he's like, it's all the hyenas' fault. And then they hear it, and they're like, what? That's made up. And then Simba's like, I don't care. Let's still fight. And then they do, but
battle.
Scar loses. Thrown off a cliff. Bye.
Kate, what does it end with? That big old.
No, you skipped over the good part, Bridge.
Oh, shit, sorry.
First, it fucking rains, because again, we're not saying it's God, we're saying it was the rain spirits or whatever.
Mano
was like, we gotta rain, and like, let's get this shit together.
We have to cleanse this.
Gotta get the feels, we're all gonna cry, so let's just be raining already, we'll wash it all away, let's do it.
Let's
and
do
then
it.
Everyone is like, we're so proud of you, Simba. And Simba fucking hugs Rafiki! Because he's like, thanks for like literally hitting sense into my brain. Oh my god. And then Rafiki goes, it is time. Which, if anyone's played the Sega Lion King game, that's what you would hear every time you opened it.
Sega.
Rafiki saying, it is time. And then it's the fucking dramatic music in slow motion. Like, I cry. I don't know what to say. I cry so much.
So
it's
good.
So amazing. And then he just stands there. And then Mufasa, he's just like, remember who you are. And then he cries. I mean, he roars. And I cry. He roars.
Okay. The true circle of life. It ends with Simba's kid.
Ah! Yes, little babe with Nala.
Wow.
And then her name's Kiara, and she's in The Lion King's 2, Simba's Pride. And she hooks up with Kovu, who is Max from the Goofy movie. People don't forget. Yep.
that's cool. But what I loved about it is the way it ended was like, oh, boom, and then it like shoots the title again.
So good.
It is a masterpiece. It's really so is. There's no part in the movie that you're like, oh, I hate this part.
Mm-hmm.
The Scar Nazi part, we could skip over that. But other than that, every scene had a point. The like animation is a little dated, but the way they did the angles is not. It's still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The voice actors, incredible. Singing, incredible. It's epic. What are you doing?
What?
Get watching it.
What? Get there. Come on. Yeah. This is obviously a watch.
This is a watch. We don't even need to ask the question.
Nope. It's a watch. Well, Bridge, unfortunately, we've got to move on from The Lion King. But fortunately, it's my pick. And I am, brace yourself, this is crazy, I am actually doing a listener pick. What? Okay. Wow.
What is it?
Hold on. Let me find the listener pick.
Oh, wow. All
right. This was a listener pick from someone who has given us some more official listener picks. They are doing it correctly. We love them. They are a loyal listener. They rock. But I'll also talk about the movie. Uh-oh, I pulled up the wrong movie. Hold, please. I don't know why this is difficult. Here we go. Okay, Bridge. This is a movie from 1995. Oh, we're still in the 90s.
Ow!
Not the best rating, but it not the worst. So this movie was based off of a video game. Okay, so we are in the action genre, but also adventure fantasy, which is fun. I don't know if I've actually seen this movie, but I know of it. Yeah, but I know of it.
Who's the listener that asked for this?
Okay, so this is our listener, David. David had recommended Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Whoa.
Amazing David. And Lord of the Rings Two Towers, which we also did.
David, we love
you. Dad! David said, I would like you to do blank, one of my favorite movies, the original 90s one. What is blank, you say? Well, it is about three unknowing martial artists are summoned to a mysterious island to compete in a tournament whose outcome will decide the fate of the world. Wow.
Three ninjas?
That's dramatic. Wow, they wish. No tum-tums here. This is Mortal Kombat. Is that the right song from the game? I've played Mortal Kombat before.
I don't know at all, but we're gonna find out.
Wow.
Wow. This is a 180 from The Lion King, I'll tell you that.
It's very different. So the Mortal Kombat I originally had up, there was a remake in 2021, and that was the one I had up, and I was like, I don't think this is the one. He meant.
This feels different.
This is the OG, and there was, it looks like, a sequel, which is weird. But all I know is it's based off the game, and that's all good. Okay. They fight. It's martial arts.
I'm gonna make some connections.
Oh.
The original movie theater in our town that still exists.
Oh yeah.
There used to be a Mortal Kombat video game, and it was epic. While you would either wait for a movie or you'd wait to get picked up because you were a kid and you couldn't drive. And I remember, I mean, Kate, obviously I love the outfits and the looks and the styles. And I feel like when the movie came out, I don't know why, it was like so much later. I don't think I watched it either. I don't know if I was as into it, but wowie. I'm ready to go back in time. And it's going to give me movie nostalgia because I was at the movie theaters when I used to play that game.
Yeah. I just remember playing the game and there would be like some pretty gruesome deaths. So this is only rated PG-13. I feel like it's not gonna be as kooky, but who knows?
Okay, well, we'll find out.
We'll see. So thank you, David. And Well, Bridge.
Can you feel
Bridge?
The love.
Jesus Christ.
Mortal Kombat. Sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. I don't even know what to say now. Bridge, if you were a broken beatbox like that, I would play the Lion King music. Actually, let me rephrase. If you recorded your own Lion King CD of you singing all the songs, I would buy it. And I would recommend it to people because I know it'd be good.
Kate.
Bridge.
If you were like, Bridge, I don't know what's happened. I can't cry. Oh. I can't, tears can't come out of my eyes. I would be like, wait, what? I give you a box of tissues. I come over and I press play with the Lion King and you'd be like, what? Oh, no, I can't.
Immediately crying. I cried more watching this movie than I did last night when I was making dinner and I got a jalapeno, like, fucking seed in my eyeball. That's a true story. It was such pain.
What are you making for dinner,
kid? It was
kid?
Mexican pasta, but it was my downfall. Yeah. Wow. That's great, Bridge. Well, listeners, if you also
need to cry,
get a little emotional at good movies that are meant to be emotional. And if you remember all the words to all the songs of The Lion King, and if you think that Timon and Pumbaa should win a BFF award, whatever that is, they should win that. You should write us a review.
Hey,
we love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts, along with some other podcasting apps. We also have a website, sisterswhoseenit.com. On our website, you can request a movie. So our next pick for Mortal Kombat was requested by David. David went on the website, filled out the form. It went on a list. It may or may not have been on the list for a little bit, but we love you, David. And look, now we're doing it. That could be you, listeners.
It could be you.
Oh, sorry. That sounded a little like Save the Last Dance-y. I don't know why. And Bridge, well, what else can they do on our website?
They can buy us coffee,
whee!
Which is money.
Woo!
And that is nice and helpful.
Yeah.
And from that, you're like, I want to do more. I want to do other things. You can buy our merch. Woo! That's the other thing you could do.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff on there. Sisters Who Sing It stuff. Silly inside jokes. Don't worry about it, honey. He's a Libra notebook. Go check it out. Okay? It's fun. We're fun. Have fun with us.
It's fun. Check it out.
Have fun with us.
All right. So check all that out. And we hope to hear from you. All right, listeners. Well, we'll see you next week for Mortal Kombat!
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wear a headband next week.
I'll dye my hair white. Let's do it!
Wow! All right. Love you!
Love you!
Bye-bye!
David, I hope you're ready. See you then.
See you then.
Put on the captions and try to sing it.
And then we're going to end with Hoochapoo! Love you, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week.